yesterday I really started feeling better, so.
Really?
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've defeated the odds since I was 18.
Yeah.
And I've really been defeating them lately. So I'm definitely not angry at the time I've had here.
Ghoul Day, everyone. Thanks for stopping by and making Paranormal Prowlers podcast part of your morning, day, night, graveyard shift, whenever you listen and wherever you are listening from Basin, Wyoming to Jacksonville, North Carolina, from hot desert to the cold mountain tops, from village to town to the biggest of cities that what the hell is sleep anyways, right? And everything in between, it is greatly appreciated. The recordings you will hear today were recorded by myself and provided by others, including Tammy Curie. Others wrote things down for me to read. Beautiful, beautiful tributes. Today is my girl Kara's birthday, and she is celebrating her very first heavenly birthday, pain-free. And while it's not easy for us here on Earth, I know she is no longer in pain. Welcome to bonus episode 22.
Round of applause. This week's city shout-out goes to
St. Paul, Minnesota, Vancouver, Washington, Auburn Hills, Michigan, Florence, Italy, Whitney, England, and Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Happy New Year, everybody. We are the second day into the new year in 2026. And I hope that this year brings us all happiness, cheer, good times, new fun memories, and just filled with adventure. Because let's face it, everybody who knew Kara, or if you're listening to this and you didn't know Kara, but you lost somebody who is similar to Kara, who was just so full of life and lived every day to the fullest, they want us to keep doing that. And so just make this year the best year ever for those who are no longer here with us. Now, welcome to the second memorial tribute dedicated to my dear friend and sister from another Mr. and Mrs., the one and only Kara, the great McCoy, who would have turned 44 today and is spending her first birthday pain-free in heaven.
Portrays a serial killer. Name that killer. A. Michael Myers. B. Leatherface. C. Ghostface Killer. Or D. Chucky.
Ooh, that one's hard. Is it A?
Nope.
Okay, now I have to know.
It's Chucky.
Oh, that was gonna be my second. I should have stuck to it. I was like, it's gotta be Chucky. Nope. Okay. I got it wrong.
You can do them more than just one guess. That's okay.
Kara's beautiful twin sister, Kristen, wrote her obituary, and I want to read that now for you guys. After a lifelong battle with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, EDS, and a rare genetic cystic lung disease, Kara Lynn McCoy passed away at home on December 4th, 2025. Kara boldly fought for her life the year she was in home hospice, defying odds and denying death numerous times before her passing. Sadly, Kara succumbed to her illness at 1:50 p.m. on December 4th, 2025. The last words spoken to her were those of her son, "I love you, Mom." With that, Kara took her final breaths while surrounded by warmth and love from her twin sister, her mother, and her dear friends, Allison, Sarah, and Marty. Kara was the very definition of a country girl. She never turned down an opportunity to fish, camp, and rock hound. Some of her fondest memories were fishing at Yellowtail and the Clark's Fork Canyon with her father and cooking in the kitchen with her mother. She loved growing up on her grandparents' Arabian horse ranch on the South Fork. Kara loved to laugh, and more so to make others laugh. Kara was a giver and a lover, a thrill seeker and daredevil. Despite the pain and suffering that EDS caused her, Kara always showed more concern for those around her. She was known worldwide for her adventures in paranormal investigation with her dear friend Tammy and their group, Wyoming Area Spirit Posse, WASP. Kara found an unmatched joy in the travel, experiences, and amazing people that being a part of WASP provided. Above all, Kara was a mother, and while their relationship often struggled, she loved her son and granddaughter more than life itself. They were her world, even at odds. She was also an animal whisperer. Just as she had been for people, Kara gave love to any animal in need that crossed her path. One of her favorite pets in this life was her beloved potbelly pig, Pork Chop. Preceding her in death was her betta fish, known as Karen, that kept her company in the bathroom and, as Kara described, harassed her potty visits. She dearly loved her cats, Pablo and Felicia, who never left her side during her hospice journey. Kara was born to Ivan Belston and Melissa Tar Askew in Cody, Wyoming, on January 2, 1982, roughly 4 minutes before her identical twin sister, Kristen. Kara and Kristen were complete opposites in many ways, but where it mattered most, they were inseparable, an unstoppable force. They spent life speaking their own language, a bond that only a twin can understand. Kara lived every moment of her life to the fullest. Her kind heart was so giving. She would leave herself wanting before allowing a loved one to be in need. Her final 8 months of life were spent with her twin sister always at her side, her mother, and her devoted friends. Kara spent these months finding her peace and working towards forgiveness and forgiving. Kara is survived by her father, Ivan Don Belston, mother, Melissa Tar Askew, Michael, sister, Kimberly Belston, James Wehrman, twin sister, Kristen Belston, brother, Callan Veronica Belston, son, Javier McCoy, and granddaughter, Paisley. Kara shared her life with many amazing friends that she defined as family. Allison, Tessa, Sarah, Jen, Sally, Tammy, Stella, Deanne, Michelle, Johnny, Larry. Truly too many to list as she was loved by many. She is also survived by her aunts, Valerie and Pam Belston, uncles, Tom and Stacy Tarr, cousins, Sean, Brett, Trent, Anthony, Candace, Jessica, Matt, Chance, and JW. Step-siblings, Jessica, Brian, and Justin Wilson, and Sarah and Aaron Askew. Nieces and nephews, Travis and Asher Belston, Kiana, Gavin, Aiden, Luxack, and Myra Wehrman. And Austin and Cade Short, and Riley Dodd Mickelson. Kara had too many she defined as family to list. We hope those not mentioned know how loved and appreciated they are. Kara was preceded in death by grandparents John and Lila Tarr, and Eugene and Doris Marie Belston, uncles Dan and Mike Belston, and many dear friends, including Sean, Scott, Ryan, and TJ. Kara held her living funeral prior to her passing. As she requested, her family and friends will be holding a remembrance celebration in spring, summer of 2026. Contact her sister Kristen to request information and submit your photos and videos with Kara so we may include those in her remembrance video. Please email to belstonkristen@gmail.com. Again, you guys, that is belstonkristin@gmail.com. And I will add that to the notes as well in the description for the podcast. So you could just click it. Easy 1, 2, 3. Well, that was beautifully written, dear Kristen. She did such an amazing job. She's, like Kara, has just such a great way with words. Now, something interesting happened to me. I was reading Kara's obituary, and literally as I finished reading the final word, the light turned off. I was home alone, mind you, boyfriend and dad, they were at Lowe's. And the whole 7 months I have been here for this season, there has not been one single power shortage or outage in the house. I'm unsure if everything else in the house went out as I was in the bedroom, but you know when like the power goes out and back on quickly, you kind of hear beeps, beeps, the things coming back to life being turned back on? Well, it was dead silent. Didn't hear any of that. But what I can say is as soon as I finished reading her obituary, like literally half a second later, if that, the light turned off by itself. A few seconds later, it turned back on. Then it began to flicker for a second. Then it turned off. Then it turned back on. And I must say that that very same morning, I actually woke up from a dream and she was with me and I had brought her to Tombstone. And it's a place that she had always wanted to go to. So I believe I also had another encounter with Kara just a couple days ago. I was sitting there watching a show with my dad and boyfriend, and I like literally had just gotten off the phone with Kara's twin, Kristen. We had a nice chat for about an hour and 20 minutes or so. As I am watching TV, I smell cigarette smoke. My dad, Justin, and I, we don't smoke. I did many moons ago, but kicked the habit close to 20 years ago. So it's been a good minute. But the smell hit me immediately. And based on their non-reactions, neither my dad or Justin smelled anything. No one besides us were there. No one was in the house. The windows were closed. No reason for this phantom smell. So I texted Chris immediately and I told her, I smell cigarette smoke. And she texted back, it's Kara. Man, I just miss that girl so, so much.
Let's see here. After Tobin Bell portrays a villain in a movie series, name that series. A, Friday the 13th. B, Nightmare on Elm Street. C, Halloween. Or D, Saw.
What was his name again?
Tobin Bell. It's spelled like Robin, but with a T. T-O-B-I-N. Tobin.
Saw.
Yep.
See, again, that was going to be my first guess. Let's see.
In the 2002 film Signs, how does Graham's wife Colleen die? A, suicide. B, murder. C, a traffic accident. Or D, breast cancer.
Well, I guess definitely traffic accident because she's pinned up against a tree.
Yep. Yep, that was a traffic accident.
Twins. The bond is ever so strong, and it remains strong as it did in life and death as well. I will now read a beautiful tribute that Kara's twin, Kristen, sent to me. I had to read it a handful of times so I wouldn't cry, so let's give it a shot. My sister and I were identical twins born a short 4 minutes apart on January 2nd, 1982. Kara was the firstborn. While it may not sound significant, she lived her life by exactly that, being the first to have friends in school, the first to kiss a boy, the first to have a child, to marry and divorce. It was if she had a drive to be the first of the two of us to do it all. Sadly, she was also the first to leave this life. Kara passed away on December 4th, 2025. With her, I lost so much of myself. Kara spent her life teaching me a great many things. She was anything but a simple person. In fact, she was about as complex as they come. She would get upset with me when I would describe her as the center of attention. But it wasn't an effort she made or demanded. It simply just came as a part of her. Her personality is so fun and crazy, intelligent and brave, loving and fierce. She would befriend anyone from any walk of life and do it fearlessly. I remember our parents would always tell stories about tiny 3-year-old Kara walking up to the biggest, scariest, most grungy man in the building and introducing herself. "Hi, I'm Kara. What's your name? Want to be my friend?" That's exactly who she was. There were no boundaries or limits, no fear to who she shared her love and kindness with. There were so many ways Kara was the brave one. Somewhere around our mid-30s, Kara was invited to help a couple of her friends start a paranormal investigating group. For a short time, I too was part of it. My role was short-lived, and eventually the group became Tammy and Kara. That group, their travels and experiences became Kara's passion, mostly on account of the traveling and all the people she met and became friends with along the way. While we didn't discover our terminal illness until roughly the year 2020, I believe some part of Kara knew that life was to be lived to the fullest, as if each day could be the last. That's certainly how she lived it. The last thing Kara wanted to be remembered as was ill. In fact, the last few weeks of her life, she asked that most people were kept away. She didn't want to have a viewing of the funeral home or any part of being seen as weak or ill. She was a fighter and fought too hard to be remembered as all that shines bright. Dances like nobody is watching, and partied until the cows come home. The last thing she wanted to define her was her illness. She lived a busy life of lightheartedness, and despite the extreme pain and suffering the last years of her life put her through, she never once revealed the truth to it. She let us only see the childlike love and joy she possessed. It's hard being an identical twin when you share so much with a person. You tend to want to branch out on your own and make your own face be remembered as an individual, not as one of the twins. Kara craved that, as long as I can remember. Don't get me wrong, there were parts of being my twin that she would never let go of, nor would I. But it mattered to her to be significant all on her own. She damn sure was. Without even trying. Kara spent her years loving nature, camping, hiking, fishing. She loved to grab tubes and float a section of Yellowtail, where it remained river before dropping into the reservoir. She could sit in the sun like a lizard all day long, just soaking up the rays and heat. It was never too hot for her. Kara was never afraid to get dirty or explore. There was a compassionate side to my sister as well. Even when she was struggling to put a roof over her head, she made the little cinch packs filled with wet wipes and toiletries and toothbrushes that she would distribute to the homeless. Kara put everyone's needs before her own. She would always spoil her friends and even strangers long before she would spoil herself. She sacrificed a lot to remain that person. Sure, Kara wasn't perfect. Nobody is. My biggest regret are the years we spent apart. Yet I do know that in that absence, Kara did find the independence she always longed for, the individuality. She faced a lot of hardships, but her reward was being soundly her own person and not simply one of the twins. The last 8 months of her life, Kara longed for our relationship to rekindle. It seemed she was finally accepting of having me back, of being one of two. She blessed me the hardest and most rewarding 8 months of my life. There was always a part of Kara that she held back from me until these final months. I learned so much about her, so many things I couldn't understand in the years prior, suddenly explained without an effort to find that explanation. She was unapologetically herself, the one and only Kara McCoy. Losing Kara took my entire world from me. It took my heartbeat, my breaths, as if being reborn, it all feels foreign to me without her first leading the way. The stars don't seem to shine as brightly, and laughter, it doesn't seem to come as easily. There's no doubt that even with her flaws, Kara made this life a brighter, more beautiful place. I miss her dearly, a pain only a twin can know. I hope that my darling sister has an amazing birthday in heaven. I hope she is dancing in the wind, free of the pain, the fear, the restrictions her illness placed on her in life. I know for certain we are all a little better for having loved Kara. I'd like to think that just as she was in life, she remains our guardian warrior angel. Please never let her be forgotten. Please keep her alive within the many amazing memories she shared with all those she loved. She was truly larger than life, always deserving more than what this life offered her. Please smile upon her memory, as Kara never cared much for somber moments. She craved the lighter side, the love and the laughter. When you think of my dearest, sweet Kara, let her memory be your reminder to dance in the rain. Thank you all from the bottom of my heart for loving this amazing woman. We will never forget you, Kara. I will never stop loving you. Well, that was a very special, heartfelt tribute from this beautiful individual. Twins forever, nothing, including death, can ever change that or take that away. So keep that close in your heart, Chris. I am so happy to have been able to spend time with Chris, and we have been in constant contact. We talk a lot. And like Kara, Chris is an absolute doll and somebody that I consider family.
Before Rose McGowan's character Tatum is murdered, what does she say to her killer? A, cut Casper, that's a wrap. B, you son of a bitch. C, I knew it was you. Or D, why are you doing this?
Wasn't it the funny one? Wasn't it A?
Yeah.
One?
Yeah, okay. Cut Casper, yep.
Yeah.
Kick in the butt, girl.
Well, I haven't watched those films in a long time.
So one day, I searched online Kara McCoy, and she had popped up, of course, the beautiful obituary that Chris had written, but another Kara McCoy came through as well. And I read, Kara Moser McCoy, born August 15th, 1898, died January 17th, 2005, was an Australian World War I veteran who was the last known female veteran of the Australian Armed Forces. She was born in England and enlisted underage in 1914. She served as a nurse for the Australian and New Zealand Army Corps. Now, both of these incredible women have these things in common. They were both fighters. They were fierce warriors and survivors, both fighting battles, huge, huge fights in their lives. Kara Moser McCoy with World War I, of course, and Kara Lynn McCoy with terminal cystic lung disease and EDS. Both fought hard as hell. And I mean, this Kara Moser McCoy, she was feisty, man. She went enlisted underage in 1914. I could see Kara doing the same thing. Our Kara. Just going in, fist flailing, kicking, doing anything and everything to help save humanity. I could totally see that for sure. Now, Kara's mother, Melissa, shared this about her beloved daughter. Kara's zest for life was amazing, abundant. She loved so deeply. We loved cooking. I just wish we had more time. Oh, how she loved the outdoors, camping, and fishing. We went fishing, and they fished at the age of 4 very well. She loved life and lived to the fullest. She blessed so many. When I first went to visit Kara back in July of 2025, I had the pleasure of meeting her sister, mother, and father as well. Melissa came by, and she was just so kind-hearted. She came by later the following day and brought Kara and Chris these really cool, huge traveling mugs. And I thought nothing of it. I just remember thinking how sweet it was that she gave her girls a gift for no reason at all, but just to do it. And that was my only thought. But she came by a day or so later, and she had in hand another large traveling mug, and it was for me. She was just kind of like, I felt so bad. I had one for Chris and Kara, but I had nothing for you. And I mean, it was just such a sweet and thoughtful gesture, for sure. And believe me, when I use that tall red mug, I definitely think of her and the fun time that I had in Wyoming. But I did not for a second expect something, nor were my feelings hurt. But again, it was just so incredibly sweet and thoughtful of her. And I greatly appreciate that sweet kindness for sure.
Boy Ride, Lewis and his brother Fuller have some fun with the CB radio and are being stalked by a psychopath. What is the psychopath's CB handle name? A. Mama's Boy. B. Candy Cane. C. Black Sheep. Or D. Rusty Nail.
I know Candy Cane was one of them, but is that him?
No.
So he would have been Rusty Nail.
Yes. Okay. Yep.
Next up, you are going to hear from one of Kara's closest friends and co-founder of Wyoming Area Spirit Posse, Tammy Curry.
I met Kara actually at a Dove chocolate party. I think it was the end of 2013 or the beginning of 2014, somewhere around there. It was a chocolate party. I had worked with Allison, so we had gone together, but she brought Kara, and Kara and I hit it off immediately. I mean, there was no question that we would be friends for the rest of our life. We started WASP not long after that, discussing the paranormal and going to cemeteries. And our very first investigation was actually at Kane Cemetery in 2014. And it kind of paved the way for future things. And over time, it kind of dwindled down just the two of us, you know, because ghost hunting isn't cheap and it's time consuming. But we loved it. Everything about it, her and I absolutely loved. But it's just so many stories. I couldn't even begin to tell you stories. It's all on our YouTube channel, our adventures together. There's just so many to even pick one favorite, because they're all my favorites. I remember Allison had said once that Kara was desperately the friend that she needed. And the funny thing about Kara was that she was kind of the friend that everybody needed. Her bond was so personal and individualized with each person. It was like she matched the friendship with each one without even losing herself in the process. Kara was always Kara, but she was the person that you needed at that time or for however long your friendship was with her. And it's weird. It was almost like she was sent to this planet to spread joy and laughter and friendship. And I definitely was a better person when I was with her, that's for sure. But she made me more outgoing. I was able to talk to people more when I was with her. She gave me courage, freedom to speak my mind, and she wasn't afraid to speak hers. I'll tell you what, if she had a problem with you, she was going to address it. And never in a mean way, but always up front, straightforward. That's the Kara way. She'd tell you you were being an asshole to your face. And you quickly changed your attitude. And that's what I loved about her. I absolutely loved it. Her laugh. Everything. I miss it every day. I have so many mementos, ghost hunting things that I see all the time that just remind me of her. And so I know she's never really gone, but it was a bond. It was a sisterhood. She was my sister in this life and the next. And yeah, she was an amazing individual, and she definitely left her mark. And anyone who knew her, if the thing is if you had a problem with Karen, you didn't like her, you didn't like yourself. Plain and simple. If you didn't like her, you didn't like yourself, because there's no reason to not like her. But that's, yeah. Thank you. That's all I got right now.
So again, just an absolute beautiful tribute. I have been friends with Tammy for close to a decade, since my radio days, like Kara, and I had never met her in person until when I went to Wyoming to visit Kara in July. And my final day there, we went to Cody, where we had lunch at the Irma, and where I bought one of my favorite cowboy hats, who I named Buffalo Bill. And during that day trip, we got to spend a few moments with Tammy, and she was busy running around with her mom, and so we weren't able to spend too much time with her, but it was really neat getting to meet Tammy in person, and I know that those two were just as thick as thieves, for sure.
But it's still fun to try.
Well, and you're learning stuff, too.
Some of these have been so long ago, I don't know.
Right? No, seriously, it kind of makes you think, you know? It's like, okay, yeah. What is this?
Thanks for the memory banks.
Right? Yeah, seriously. In Pet Cemetery, the Creed family moved to Maine, leaving behind A, Fort Garland, Colorado, B, Topeka, Kansas, C, Chicago, Illinois, or D, Tombstone, Arizona.
Was it Chicago?
It was. Yes, ma'am.
A week or so before her death, I had a feeling. And it was just this, I couldn't explain it, but it was just this weird feeling that came over me. And so I know she loved snail mail so much, as do I. So I searched through my bin of special cards and I picked around 10, maybe 12 cards. I sat down and I just was writing. And somebody looking at that around that time of year would have thought, okay, well, maybe it's Christmas cards. No, it was for one person. Something in me told me to write these letters. Literally, like, this is your last chance. If you don't do this now, it will never happen. She'll never get them. And I listened to that voice, and I'm just so glad that I did. So my boyfriend and dad laughed at me, like, why are you sending her all of these cards at the same time? And, I mean, I've talked about Kara a lot with both of them, and so they knew the situation, but I don't think they knew just how severe. And so, matter-of-factly, I just answered, she will not live long enough to receive them all. And my boyfriend's like, well, what if you send one card a day? And again, she will not live long enough to receive these. So I mailed them all at the same time, and I let Chris know that they were on the way. And, you know, it was like Christmas Day for Kara, a day that she sadly would not live long enough to see in 2025. So it was nice that she got to experience that plethora of cards, of those letters. So the cards arrived November 28th. I got a text from Chris letting me know. And the last day I got a text from her was on the 28th. And at that point, she had not gotten the cards yet. She was doing a lot more sleeping than she was being awake. So cards arrived 28th of November. November 30th, she would go into somewhat of a coma. And she would breathe her last breath December 4th. Chris texted me regarding the card saying, the cards made her smile ear to ear, my love. You have no idea how they made her day. Thank you so, so much. She is grateful, and I'm so incredibly grateful and thankful for you being the love she deserves through this.
In Stand By Me, a group of friends go on an adventure in search of A, Vern's lost collection of pennies, B, a boy's dead body, C, Gordy's late brother Denny's favorite baseball hat, or D, illegal fireworks.
Is it A?
Nope.
Damn it. Okay, so I do remember they went on a mission. It was a dead body.
Yes.
I will now read you a tribute from Deanne Haney, someone who was considered an honorary mother to Kara. My memory of fondness of Kara always referred to times we talked at the convenience stores when she would come in and get her dad's Ives cigarettes. And she would stand there and talk till her legs would get tired or I would get busy. That is where our friendship began so many years ago. Thank you, my daughter, from another mother. I will always love you today, tomorrow, forever, and for another day, and never will forget you. I love you in a circle, Kara. Now, Deanne is a very kind person, and I have not actually met her in person, but I did have the pleasure to talk to her on the phone, and I could feel the love she has for our amazing sweet Kara. And I love people like this, where we find that kind of love, and we love them so much that we kind of adopt them as our own. You know, Kara was considered an honorary daughter to Deanne, and Deanne was an honorary mother to Kara. And that's a very precious and special relationship. Absolutely. I myself have somebody very special to me who I consider an honorary mother. Those are just very special souls for sure. You don't just pick anyone for that.
Speaking of Psycho, okay, Psycho is directed by A, Bram Stoker, B, Patricia Hitchcock, C, Alfred Hitchcock, or D, Anthony Perkins.
Alfred.
Yep.
Allison Strongarm, another dear friend of Kara's and Kristen's, reached out to me. You heard from her in the first tribute episode released just days after Kara's passing. She reached out and wanted to share a poem that Kara had actually written herself, and it was dedicated to her honorary mother, Deanne, who you just heard from. Allison shares this about the poem. Deanne met Kara when she was just a little thing in 1985, when Kara came into the convenience stores. She was like a second daughter. We text every night. She wrote this poem for her and Deanne both. It was pieces of both of them. Kara talked for years about how she had to get this poem finished and framed, and she kept true to that, gifting Deanne her beautiful poem framed with original artwork. Deanne, Kristen, and Allison actually all sent me images of the puzzle itself, of the puzzle poem, and it is so colorful and vibrant and beautiful, and that will be in this collage of pictures as many people are sharing pictures of Kara. And I want to read that beautiful poem now, and Kara titled it Puzzle Pieces. Our lives are like puzzle pieces. While putting them together, so many portraits emerge. Every box is different, relate to different parts in life. Some may be put together in full, yet carry a dark image, the shadow hidden in the big picture. Some boxes have missing pieces, never to be found, always hopeful to fill that gap. Then there are boxes of pieces of love, complicated, carrying broken pieces, bent but still together. Then there are the ones you really thought would fit, beautiful tees. So close to the perfect fit. Match in so many ways. It's fun and exciting. Until realizing the piece just doesn't fit. Unbendable and formed this way. cut it, and the entire puzzle crumbles. These puzzles are heartbreaks. Frustration and anger toss all the beautiful pieces away. Allow that piece to define its beauty and find its way to the puzzle it best fits. You just might find the void it left in its wake, one day finds from the winds of strange that perfect piece to take. Truly beautiful, just so Kara, so unique, one of a kind. Kara, again, was just so good with words. I just, from time to time, even when she was her healthier days, I would love to just reread the letter she sent me. Just truly beautiful. So thank you, Allison, for providing that. And Deanne, that is just such a beautiful testament to your friendship with your honorary daughter. Truly amazing. Allison herself just wrote a beautiful poem dedicated to our girl, Kara, and she shared that with me, and I want to share it with you now. Gumby in the wild world, swinging your arms in a dance, feet in light and dark, listening shadows, aware of the not there, there, alive in two worlds, finding the mystic, smile directs beams of light, ever changing us. Gumby in the hush world, swirling, quiet, endless dance, feet above the earth. Very beautifully written, Allison. Allison and Kara have been friends for many, many years. And like Tammy and Kara, Kara and Allison just hit it off immediately. And that bond never wavers, never leaves, even when death approaches. In a letter Kara wrote me back in April of 2018, she mentions her excitement about an upcoming trip. Quote, Amanda and I will be in Detroit July 18th through the 22nd. Tams probably won't be making it, but we never leave a member out. So needless to say, it'll be a great time bringing the non-physical Tams along. And, of course, she'll be with us in heart as well. Now, this is kind of neat because you already heard from Tammy. And you will also be hearing from Amanda and also one of the people that they visited in Detroit. So, pretty fun stuff. Now, mutual friend Jeff Atkins, who's been on my radio show and podcast, is in Detroit. And he was, like I said, one of those people that Kara and Amanda visited. Jeff shares this. She was a very sweet and genuine person. She will be dearly missed by many. Back in the summer of 2018, she and Amanda came to Michigan and hung out with Todd and me. We investigated the Norris Farmhouse in Taylor, Michigan, and had such a great time. I'll always remember Kara's great sense of humor, warm personality, and love for the paranormal world. We had a blast while they were here in town, and I'll always keep the memories of her time with us close to my heart. As someone who is truly one of a kind, she will be dearly missed and lovingly remembered by all who knew her. Thank you, Jeff, for the kind words. That was a beautiful tribute. Jeff is an awesome dude, part of Detroit Paranormal Expeditions. He's been on a couple of the Halloween episodes, been on the radio show. He's been on the podcast several times. He's done voiceovers for me. He was featured in episode 24. That's double digits, baby. In season one, titled Hauntings at Beaver Island. Haven't heard that episode? Go mosey over and check it out for sure.
What town does the movie It take place in? A. Castle Rock, Oregon. B. Estes Park, Colorado. C. Santa Clarita, California. Or D. Derry, Maine.
The Derry, Maine?
Yep.
Next up is Amanda Horner, another dear friend of mine. Amanda and Kara sure had a fun time in Detroit with Jeff and Todd, among other adventures. And this is what Amanda had to share. I was with Kara for both some of her best and worst adventures. We saw the Occidental Hotel in Buffalo. I'm sure Tammy has great pictures from there. The Whitney, the Norris Farmstead, and Precinct 13 met Todd Bonner and Jeff Adkins from DPX not long after they had gotten into their investigations of Eloise Asylum. We created Absalom Paranormal, basically lived in the Dumas brothel and the Irma. Amanda is a sweet gal, like Kara. Her and I had a lot of back and forth snow mail fun. Life gets in the way, we all get busy, but when time allows, we still send letters. Now, I need to brag. Amanda is a badass. She is an actual legit miner. Like, going underground and in caves and kicking ass in a man's world, the mining world, right? I don't think there's too many female miners out there. So she's very impressive and an amazing person for sure. And again, her and Kara had some pretty good times together. Kara was an advocate for hospice until her dying breath. In an earlier episode, several months back, this was in her own words. She said, "I will advocate for this until my dying breath. Hospice is the best decision, but be careful about it. I know for me personally, I was not going to go into an in-home hospice. I want to die at home. If it's not possible, fine. I will do what I have to do. But if possible, I want to die at home. And any hospice program that I know of has that. So if one hospice says, no, we only have in-home, and that's when you have to go in a home with other people for that time period. And if that's you, that's great. They manage your schedule. You do exactly what the doctor says to you. All of that jazz. In your home, you get more freedom. You're the boss. You're the boss. If you don't feel comfortable taking something, don't do it. You don't have to." Now, a wonderful, loving soul who was a part of Kara's Hospice A team was an amazing woman named Marty. And this is what Marty had to share. "I think Kara loved life more than anyone I know. She loved to make people smile and make them happy. She was able to discern the pain in others because of what she'd been through herself. She didn't hide her feelings. Who you saw is who she was, even if she changed from day to day. She was loyal to a fault at times. I loved her. She was a true friend. She also lived to have fun. We both agreed that life is not worth living if you can't have fun along the way. She loved learning about historical people and events, which is why she did so well in the posse. She is missed so much." Now, I had the pleasure of meeting Marty back in July during my first visit, and then again during my final visit in October. And Kara, she just lit up when Marty walked through the door. It wasn't like, "Hey, I'm here. What do you need? Okay, bye." It was personal. They were friends. They were family. I just could feel the love being there and seeing the interactions and the smiles and the laughter and the love. And I can still feel it today. In October of 2017, I received a letter from Kara with a cute picture of her, Tammy, and Carrie. And they were rushing to go on a trip, but she was so cute and wanted to get a letter out before they left. Quote, "Wanted to get this out before our travels. Sorry the picture is, well, rough, but we all love ya. Wanted that known. Can't wait for the day that we all meet up." And one question I asked her many moons ago in a letter was, "What is your spirit animal?" And in all of her careness, it wasn't simple. It wasn't a simple answer of, oh, an eagle or whatever. This is what she had to say. "I think I have several. Owls at night when I can't sleep. They are there. Eagles on every road trip. Snakes. Lots of snakes. When I'm with those, I know I shouldn't be. Doves, when I'm down. The list just goes on. Many say it's because who I am, the spirit in me, and those around me. Very cute answer. Just very Kara. So, I actually have a funny Kara story. You know, she was kind to all. Her family, her friends, those in need, creepy people. I mean, that many would stay near, you know, that would steer clear from. But she had her limits. Like a rattlesnake, she tried warning this guy, but he ignored the rattle, so she struck him. The story was in a letter that she wrote to me, December of 2017, and I literally laughed out loud. And so I'm envelope in hand, getting that card out. Want to read it to you because it really made my day. It cracked me up. Today was crazy. Must chuck it up to a full moon. No, don't get me wrong. Full moons do carry a big toll, especially at work. But today, nope. Tessa, I kid you not. What a weird encounter. And bad timing? Maybe. Last night was a rotten deal with the ex. And I did express to not only Tammy, but all the SRT team, including Tyler, how I just may throat punch the next dumbass I see. Only Tammy knows why. The rest, they're clueless. Anywho, so I stop at the gas station just a few blocks from work. For some dumb reason, I craved a rotten coffee. Upon leaving my car, I notice a questionable character. Ew. Felt eyeballed. Ick. So anywho, I got my gross coffee, walked out and heard, "Hey, want a date?" Those eyes looked at me. Hoped he was speaking to someone else. So I looked all around. Yeah, he was talking to me. I tried to be polite, Tessa. I smiled and I said, "Thank you, but no thank you." He replied, and this dude had crack teeth, barely any. "Nice teeth. You have nice teeth." And started walking at me. The past 24 hours already had me fed up, ready to just bust the next idiot. And here he was. I had my purse and coffee in one hand, keys in the other. When he started walking at me, I pointed, lol, in between knuckles, my keys at him and yelled, "You better walk the other way. I'm not in the fucking mood." He did a very odd windmill run. That kind of thing really doesn't happen in this small town. Anywho, I could just see her, you know, she was just such a cute little thing. Badass chick. And she's so sweet looking. And it's like, I don't think the dude expected that. So again, like a rattlesnake, yeah, you're out of here, buddy. So boy, you know, Kara did love snail mail. So do I. I mean, who doesn't? I've never in my life heard someone say, "I hate snail mail. I prefer junk mail and those ever so lovely non-pesky bills." No thanks, right? So she shared excitement about a letter that I had sent, writing in a letter saying, "Can't tell you just how great it was to get your letter today. Has been a crazy, crazy day. Many rough moments. Just before mustering brain power to tackle paperwork, I checked the mail. I ice skated there, haha, saw your letter, and it brought this seemingly endless day to a fun, no longer hate humanity day." She just, again, had a way with words, you know, made you smile, made you feel like you were appreciated. And boy, did I ever appreciate her as well. So Kara, she was such a caring and loving and giving person. Like Chris said, she would give the shirt off her back. She would just do anything for people so they wouldn't go without, even if it meant she went without. I was at her house and she walks into her room, comes out, has this long sleeve cute shirt that I've seen before her wearing, And she was like, this is one of my favorite shirts. I love it. Here, take it. Keep it. I'm like, what? You're crazy, girl. But she insisted, and I've only worn it a couple times. I don't want to wash it. I know that sounds weird, but I don't want to wash it because it smells like Kara. It has that. It has her. And so she literally took the shirt off her back for me. She confided in me in October, just a few weeks before her passing, that something was just really bugging her. And I asked her, like, what's going on, you know? And she said, well, it bugs me that, like, when I die, I have organs that can't be used. None of my organs, everything in my body is shot. They're destroyed. I can't donate my organs to help other people. And that's what I've always wanted to do. She said that literally the only thing that is like considered donatable from her were her corneas. And she expressed doubt, saying, I doubt anybody would get the use out of those in the area of Wyoming that I live in. She's like, maybe the closest would be Denver. She's like, but I really don't see that happening. And it really bugged her, you know? I mean, she's such a caring and loving and giving person that she was concerned that after she dies, she wasn't concerned about the fact that she's no longer here, but that nobody can get use out of her organs. And that's just such a loving and caring thing to think about, you know? Like, a lot of people might not, I mean, there's a ton of people out there who aren't organ donors, which, you know, to each their own. I myself am one. It just really bugged her, and I felt so bad, and I was just like, all I could do was just like look at her and go, oh no, it's okay, you know? But what do you say to something like that? You can't say something that will magically make things different. So, I don't know. It's just interesting. Makes me wonder if somebody did get her corneas. I would like to imagine that there is somebody out there who has better eyesight because of our sweet Kara. And maybe I don't want to know the truth. Maybe I just want to go with that.
Well, you know, I've defeated the odds since I was 18.
Yeah.
And I've really been defeating them lately.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm definitely not angry at the time I've had here.
Yeah.
Not at all. Some days are just really hard.
Yeah.
It kind of embarrasses me. Like, I don't want to go this way. You know, like...
Well, but like, you're a warrior.
For the most part, I'm doing good. I think for a hospice patient, I'm kicking ass.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I don't know. You know, I guess no one really knows that until they're having to go through it. You're kind of amazed with yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
I'm glad I got to meet Todd.
Yeah.
But, you know, before all this, I met Todd and Jeff. I wish we could have had more time together, but we did have a great time.
Yeah.
And, I was really glad we actually got to meet.
And that concludes another fantastic podcast. Legend has it, if you don't tune in, I'll be returning to haunt you. So make sure to tune in for the next episode.
Did you enjoy this epic bonus episode? Listen to all the others. They all rock. You can binge listen to your heart's fright and delight by hitting up any of those podcast platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Cast, CastBox, Downcast, Deezer, Blueberry, wherever you may roam to hear your other spooky podcasts, you'll probably find Paranormal Prowlers podcast lurking in the background. Thanks, everyone, and I will
see you next week.